We encourage young people in the rising generation to see their own potential to build great spiritual strength.
Truly, my dear young friends, you are a chosen generation. I hope you will never forget it. I hope you will never take it for granted.
It is not by chance that you have been reserved to come to earth in this last dispensation of the fullness of times. Your birth has been foreordained in the eternities. You are youth of a noble birthright.
Thank you for joining us on For the Youth on the Mormon Channel. I'm Scott Robley, and I'm glad you could spend a few minutes with us today as we talk about the rising generation and how you can live up to your potential. Whether you're plugged into your iPhone, your iPod Touch, or right in the car listening on your BlackBerry, or even sitting in front of the computer listening to the internet, I want you to think about your answer to the following question. Is it harder to be a young person today than it was for your parents, or even your grandparents? As you contemplate your answer, let me give you some food for thought. Listen carefully to what Elder Henry B. Eyring said concerning the challenges today in a conference for church educators back in August 2001.
The world in which our students choose spiritual life or death is changing rapidly. When their older brothers and sisters return to visit the same schools and campuses they attended, they find a radically different moral climate. The language in the hallways and the locker rooms has coarsened. Clothing is less modest. Pornography has moved into the open. And tolerance for wickedness has not only increased, but much of what was called wrong is no longer condemned at all, and may even by our students, be admired. Parents and administrators have in many cases bent to the pressures coming from a shifting world to retreat from moral standards once widely accepted. The spiritual strength sufficient for our youth to stand firm just a few years ago will soon not be enough. Many of them are remarkable in their spiritual maturity and in their faith. But even the best of them are sorely tested, and the testing will become more severe.
Do you see this prophetic description in your schools today? Has the testing become more severe? Do you see the coarsening of language? Do you see greater levels of immodesty? It appears that the moral climate is different for your siblings, not to mention your parents and grandparents. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland adds to Elder Eyring's description of today's challenges with the following words also given at a conference for church educators in August 2000.
As a general observation, I think our high school and college age students are wonderful. That they're striving collectively, I think, to be as fine a generation of young people as we've ever had in this church. But even as I say that, I am quick to acknowledge, and I don't want to minimize that compliment, but I am quick to acknowledge what you already know, that exceptions to that rule are too many and often far too serious. When our youth sin now, they can do so in such flagrantly offensive ways with ever more serious consequences in their lives. That is the world we're in. And it is, by scriptural definition, a world that is getting progressively more wicked. So, over time, we will continue to see a steady deterioration of what is acceptable in movies, on television, in pop music, which in the case of rap lyrics isn't even music at all, and perhaps in our most dangerous contemporary foe, abuse of the internet. I have learned what you've learned. That the door to permissiveness, the door to promiscuity and lewdness, swings only one way. It only opens farther and farther. It never swings back. Individuals can choose to close it, but it is quite certain, historically determined, that public appetite and public policy will never retreat.
We live in an ever rapidly declining moral environment. It has deteriorated not only in your parents' lifetime, but in your lifetime as well. From the brethren appears that it will only get worse. So with this ever-decreasing environment, is it harder to be a young person today? It would appear on the surface that yes, it is, but President Gordon B. Hinckley may suggest otherwise. He held a special meeting in the conference center in November 2000. Here's what he said concerning our challenges today.
Of course you face challenges. Every generation that has ever walked the earth has faced challenges. We could spend the entire evening talking about them. But of all the challenges that have been faced in the past, the ones we have today, I believe, are most easily handled. I say that because they are manageable. They largely involve individual behavioral decisions, but those decisions can be made and followed. And when that happens, the challenge is behind us.
Did you hear how he compared the challenges of his day and the challenges today? He said the challenges today are most easily handled. They are manageable because they largely involve behavioral decisions. Although your moral environment continues to worsen, you have the power to choose. Your choices in many cases determine the severity of your challenges. In addition to your power to choose, you have been told on countless occasions that you are a royal generation. Speaking at a youth fireside in Spokane, Washington, back in August 1999, President Hinckley said, quote, "I love you. I believe in you. I have every confidence that you're going to do the right thing, that you're going to make a good life. I have every reason to regard you as the greatest generation we've ever had in the church, notwithstanding all the temptations which you face," end quote. At a Ricks College regional conference in 1996, President Hinckley taught, quote, "You're the greatest generation ever in the history of the church. You are better educated. You know the gospel better. You are products of seminary and institute programs. You're the youth of the noble birthright and daughters and sons of Heavenly Father," end quote. Wow, what a description. The greatest generation ever. Do you really believe that? Is that what you see when you look around at your peers? So is it true? I wonder if President Hinckley was given an invitation. Was he saying, "You're the greatest generation ever. Now act like it"? Maybe I can illustrate with a personal experience. Growing up in a small town of Kenai, Alaska, I was fortunate to do a lot of things. I got to play basketball. Our school colors were red and white, and we had a tradition with our reversible practice jerseys that the starters got to wear white. Every day, one of the players on our team who wasn't a starter would come out of the locker room with his jersey white, and every day the coach would tell him to go red. Now, I'm not sure if he's just a glutton for punishment or if he was trying to trick the coach, but he never got to be a starter. I wasn't a starter either, and to be honest with you, I didn't really give him a chance to make me a starter, let alone play me. But I was good enough to be on the team and had fortune enough to get limited playing time. Because of an injury that took place to one of our starters during the course of the season, one day at practice, I'll never forget, the coach said, "Robley, go white." I couldn't believe it. I was going to be a starter. And something happened. You know what it was? I started playing out of my mind. I started playing better than I'd ever played before. I don't know why. Maybe it was because for the first time I saw myself as a starter. Maybe there was something magical about that white jersey. I remember the coach even asking me why I hadn't been playing like that before. I really didn't have an answer at the time, but now I do. So when President Hinckley said, "You are the greatest generation ever," I think what he was saying was go white. Be a starter. Start living your life in a manner that best represents who you really are. We live in a challenging world. Going white won't always be easy. I was listening to a program on the Mormon Channel called Conversations. On this program, host Sherry Dew interviews people of interest in the LDS community. In the first episode, Sherry Dew interviews Elder David A. Bednar of the 12 Apostles and his wife Susan. They are asked to share counsel they would give regarding living in a time when our foundation seems a bit unstable. Listen carefully to what both Elder and Sister Bednar have to say.
I think back to an experience I had with President Hinckley the day after 9/11. I was serving as the president of BYU Idaho, and on that Wednesday, we were to have a Church Board of Education meeting. And as Susan and I were driving from Rexburg to Salt Lake City Tuesday evening, which was the day of 9/11, I said, "I can't wait to hear what the brethren have to say about what took place this morning." The next morning, I went to the board meeting, and I went in, and President Hinckley entered the room, And he said, "We live in very troubling times. Now let's get to work." That would be my counsel. As we are pressing forward on the straight and narrow path, pressing forward is to me an image that's really very easy to see. Having lived in Rexburg, where the wind blows all the time, you have to lean into and press forward as you're walking sometimes to press against the wind. To the degree that you pull over to a roadside stop on the straight and narrow path and just sit and take the temperature and how fast is the wind blowing and so forth, you're not making a lot of progress. And the faith exemplified in that simple statement by President Hinckley, "Now let's get to work." No unhallowed hand is going to stop this work from progressing. So let's just get to work.
We had an experience again with President Hinckley where we took a group of student body officers to Salt Lake City and had the opportunity to have them meet with President Hinckley. The student body officer, the president, asked President Hinckley, "Is there any advice, President Hinckley, that you could give to us that we could take back to the students?" I was fascinated by his advice, and it was so quintessential President Hinckley. It was about faith. And he said, "Yes, there is. Have faith. Have faith in yourselves, faith in the Lord, and faith in the future." I just think if people throughout the world can have those three dimensions of faith in their lives, that even though a world is in commotion, they can be grounded in whatever it is that they need to do and to accomplish.
Wasn't that amazing counsel? Both Elder and Sister Bednar shared insightful counsel given them from President Gordon B. Hinckley. We do live in troubling times, and it's easy to get discouraged and feel unsettled. There's no greater time than now to follow the counsel and get to work. You're listening to For the Youth on the Mormon Channel. I'm Scott Robley, and today we're talking about how you can live up to your potential. As you continue to press forward on the straight and narrow path, having faith in yourself, faith in the Lord, and faith in the future, I am confident you'll be able to do all that you've been sent to this earth to accomplish. A while back, I was viewing one of the Mormon messages found both on the church website and YouTube, and a message from Boyd K. Packer caught my attention. It is titled "Counsel for Youth." I'd like you to listen to President Packer as he too speaks of a time of uncertainty and a time of testing. Listen for 10 pieces of counsel he gives to you, the rising generation.
When I began my career as a teacher, President J. Reuben Clark, Jr. spoke to us as teacher. President Clark described the youth as hungry for the things of the Spirit and eager to learn the gospel. He said they want it straight, undiluted. You do not have to sneak up behind these spiritually experienced youth and whisper religion in the ears. Paul told young Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." Your generation is filled with uncertainties. You will be tested as you prepare yourself to return to our Heavenly Father. Be a responsible member of your family. The very foundation of human life in all society is the family. Learn to work and to support. Take care of your possessions, your clothing, your property. Do not be wasteful. Learn to be content. It will not hurt you to want something and not have it. It will be good for you. Never complain about schooling. Study well and attend always. The glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth. Whatever principles or intelligence we attain in this life will rise with you in the resurrection. Do not abuse yourself. Never allow others to touch your body in any way that is unworthy. And do not touch anyone else's body in an unworthy way. Do not run with friends that worry your parents. Resist every impulse that would trouble your spirit. Avoid the deadly poisons of pornography and narcotics. If they're in your life, beware. If allowed to continue, they can destroy you. If you've been guilty of sin or mischief, you must learn about the power of the atonement, how it works, and with deeply sincere repentance, you can unleash that power. There's nothing from which you cannot be clean. The gospel plan is the great plan of happiness, and that happiness is the end of our existence. Of this I bear testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I bet you wish you were taking notes. Let's talk about a few things President Packer had to say. First, did you hear the description J. Reuben Clark gave of the youth as a member of the First Presidency back in 1938? He said that the youth of the church are hungry for things of the Spirit. They are eager to learn the gospel, and they want it straight, undiluted. I've been with you in the classroom. I've joined you in youth conferences and EFYs. It is a true description. If it was true 70 years ago, then it's most definitely true today. Next, did you catch the reference to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, which said, "Let no man despise thy youth." Don't be discouraged because you're young. You don't have to wait until the future to make a difference. Now is the time. Today is your day. Were you able to notice the 10 pieces of counsel offered by President Packer? In case you missed a few, let's review. Number one, be a responsible member of your family. President Hinckley used to say that he believed the family to be the basic and most important unit of society, and that the greatest joys of life are experienced in happy family relationships. I can honestly say that nothing brings me greater joy than my wife and four sons. Number two, learn to work in support. Listen to what F. David Stanley said back in the April 1993 General Conference.
The frightening disappearance of work as a part of our basic ethic is alarming. We constantly hear the statements, "It's too hard. Give me something easier. I want it now. I can't wait that long," coming from our young people. The ugly disease of nothing to do is growing in epidemic proportions among us.
Remember what President Hinckley said after 9/11? We live in troubling times. Let's get to work. Number three, do not be wasteful. The old couplet still has application today. Waste not, want not. My grandpa always used to teach me the importance of not wasting. Not wasting money, time, or resources. Number four, learn to be content. One of my favorite chapters in the Book of Mormon is Alma 29. After some incredible missionary experiences, Alma declares in the first three verses, "Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth, and cry repentance unto every people. But behold, I am a man, and do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me." We too should be content with all that has been allotted unto us. Learning to be grateful for what we have will always contribute to our happiness, where focusing on what we don't will always leave us empty and wanting. Number five, never complain about school. He said to study well and attend always. In a talk given to youth and young single adults on November 12, 2000, at the Conference Center in Salt Lake City and broadcast by satellite throughout the church, President Gordon B. Hinckley said,
"You are moving into the most competitive age the world has ever known. All around you is competition. You need all the education you can get. Sacrifice a car, sacrifice anything that is needed to be sacrificed to qualify yourselves to do the work of the world. That world will in large measure pay you what it thinks you are worth. And your worth will increase as you gain education and proficiency in your chosen field."
Your education will be a strong, defining quality of going white. Number six, do not abuse yourself or another. Our bodies are sacred gifts from our Heavenly Father. They have been bought with a price, and through Christ we can have them back again after we die. We should care for them in the way the Lord has prescribed. Seven, choose good friends. No one can discount the value of true friends, the kind that make it easier to live the gospel and not harder. Life provides enough challenges without having our so-called friends adding to the difficulty. We secure for ourselves good friends when we ourselves are good friends. Eight, resist every impulse that would trouble your spirit. Remember, there is another who knows your identity. He knows who you are as a royal generation. And he will do whatever he can to, as Alma chapter 30, verse 60 says, drag you down to hell. 9. Avoid the deadly poison of pornography at all costs. You cannot afford to witness or read or partake of this growing evil in any way. It is a growing, vile, and evil thing that is reaching out in many forms to entrap and destroy those who are enticed to partake of it. And 10. Learn about the power of the atonement. Elder Bruce C. Hafen, an emeritus general authority, taught in the 1990 April Ensign magazine, quote, "The Savior desires to save us from our inadequacies, as well as from our sins. Inadequacy is not the same as sinfulness. We have far more control over the choice to sin than we may have over our innate capacity. A sense of falling short or falling down is not only natural, but essential to the mortal experience. But after all we can do, the atonement can fill that which is empty, straighten our bent parts, and make strong that which is weak," end quote. Nothing will have a greater impact in your life and the lives of those around you than the atonement of Jesus Christ. As you continue to press forward on the straight and narrow path, having faith in yourself, faith in the Lord, and faith in the future, I am confident you'll be able to do all that you've been sent to this earth to accomplish. You are in a fight for right. This is a glorious cause of truth. In a revelation given to the prophet Joseph Smith and recorded in the 86th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 9, the Lord said, quote, "For you are faithful heirs according to the flesh, and have been hid from the world with Christ in God," end quote. He has saved the best for last. So fear not. Be victorious. The Lord is on your side. Go white. Get to work. Have faith. And press on in the work of the Lord. I'm Scott Robley, and you've been listening to For the Youth on the Mormon Channel. To download this episode, visit our website at mormonchannel.org. Thanks for listening.